really chapters 13 and 14. Familiar passage of the spies from Israel being sent into Canaan to search out the land and to bring back a report to Moses and Aaron and indeed all the nation of Israel. I want you to notice just to begin with, or indeed if I was to give it a title, let's say fear that destroys. We mention the term fear and consider people who fear. I suppose the tendency is to be sympathetic. All kinds of things cause people to be afraid and fearful. But I'm speaking now about a fear that the Bible condemns. It is a great sin when it comes to standing in a relationship with God or not. Indeed, it is said in the book of Revelation with a whole category of awful sins that are listed, that one of them that keeps a person out of heaven is the sin of fear. Why is it a sin to be afraid? Well, we'll look at what's happening here in chapters 13 and 14 because we have examples of a sinful fear and indeed its consequences for those that had this fear. But notice at the beginning of chapter 13 where it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." The promised land was a gift. Israel didn't deserve it. It was God's prerogative. He owns everything. It all belongs to him. He created it. He has formed the nation of Israel. He has given them the most wonderful promise that there is a land for them. He described it as a land flowing with milk and honey. It is a most wonderful place. You know, let's start there. Salvation is a gift of God. All that it entails, all that it's included in the salvation of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's like a Russian doll. It's a doll within a doll. It's a gift within gift, within a gift, within a gift, within a gift. There are many gifts in the salvation of God. You remember the Lord's words to the woman he met at the well, the very sinful woman he met at the well. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, are you conscious, do you know that there is a most amazing gift? Salvation, the promised land, and I'm not meaning now the typical one we're looking at here, that one in Canaan, that one over in Israel, of geographical Israel. We're speaking now of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the everlasting kingdom, the new heaven, the new earth. Will you be one of those people? If you are, it'll be presented as a gift. You won't earn it, so don't try. It's the gift of God. It's a most amazing thing. So the Lord calls Moses and he says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. It's a gift. Receive it as a gift. Take salvation, the gift of God. You don't pay him for it. He doesn't ask you for anything. It's the gift of God. Eternal life is the gift of God. How merciful and gracious. How clear in one sense. How easy. Someone offers you a gift. You either take it or you reject it. Here it is, a gift. Moses, send the spies in to see the land that I'm giving to you and to the Israelites. Well, we see from verses 17 and 18, chapter 13, I'm just going to go down this quite quickly, that the spies, given their brief and their task, go to see what the land is like as they were bidden. Verse 17, chapter 13, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, that is these 12 men, each a leader in their own tribe. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. See the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Well, could the Lord have done any more to have encouraged them to go into this land? It just so happens he's timed it that it's the time of the harvest of the grapes and all their produce in the land. Go and see what it's like. What it is you're being given. What comes with the land? Well, isn't that the gospel again? And the message of the gospel? What's in it? What do we get in salvation? Well, survey it. Have a look. Read the scripture. See what Christ promises. All the additional blessings and favors. All that we have in Christ. Why, you could list quite a number. And then could you expound them all in every detail? You would have hundreds and hundreds of gifts. The blessings of God. What it means to be justified. Right with God. What God has promised us. What will be restored to us. All that man has lost. Everything that we need to have abundant life. Spiritual life. Eternal life. Well, God has brought the people to the land. Surely they're coming back with such a report. That's the gospel preacher, isn't it? Bring back the word. Tell us what it's like. Tell us about forgiveness. Tell us about pardon. Tell us about mercy. Tell us about grace. Tell us what God has done and is doing. Tell us of the love of Christ. Tell us of the person of Christ, the majesty, the beauty, the glory. Tell us what it is to know him. Bring us samples back. Well, we can give you our testimony. We can tell you what he's done for us, what he means to us. We can talk of the satisfaction that we have in Christ. Satisfaction, by the way, the world will never give you, never be able to supply you. No, you have, as we said to the children this morning, a soul cannot ever be satisfied with anything but its maker, its redeemer, now through faith in Christ. So here we have the people sent to spy out the land. And so, verse 21, that's what they did. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men come to Hamath. Now then, it begins to go downhill. Fear is a destroyer. Fear will keep you out of the promised land. It kept these people out. Fear. Right? This is what they said. So we go to verses 26, 27. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. You know, people hearing the gospel, many of them can appreciate the things that are being proffered to them. They begin to see. They hear. They have it explained to them. They think, what wonderful things. Oh, surely it would be a wonderful thing to have them. Now the people that are seeing the samples that have been brought back by the spies and so on, they agree. They concur it must be a beautiful place. Verse 27. Surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So now it begins to go downhill. Here's the land. Here's the produce. Here's the blessings. Just go in. Just take the gift. Accept it from God. But no, now fear, which destroys, begins to take over. Now, filled with fear, unbelief, and doubts, they don't want to go any further. Now it's fear that stops people believing. It's fear. A paralyzing, sinful fear. Because as we'll see, the faithful speak up out of the 12. There were only two of them, Joshua and Caleb. But they are convinced that what's on offer and what God's given them is for the taking. They are people of faith. They believe God. They know their God. They trust their God. They see God's bigger than their fears, bigger than their foes. Indeed, God can take them in. It'll be theirs. Oh, but there are multitudes who didn't believe. Multitude, many lost their life, as we'll see, sinfully. And there's a great irony in the way that they did. For it seems they come to believe too late. And God said, don't go now. Don't go near them. I'm not with you. Their belief came too late. They didn't get into the land. They decided they'd press on anyway and attack. And they were routed. They were totally defeated. Some. What's happening there? Well, look, here we've got to start here. It's this dread. It's this fear. Now, what is it and what kinds of fear keep people from receiving the gift of salvation, the promised land of the kingdom of Christ and all that there will be? Why do people miss it? Because of their fears. What sorts of fear do they have? Let me just run some past you. And these may be some of the fears that you may have. There's the fear that I can't overcome. This is what the fear was here. Look, they say, who's in there? And they list all the different nations they've been able to identify, naming the sons of Anak, these giants, it seems, yes, physically of great stature. And they were like grasshoppers, and there's no way you could fight them and beat them and all the other nations as well. This is fear. And it's destroying, it's killing, it's paralyzing, it's sinful. It's sinful because God had said he was with them. God had promised his presence. And Caleb and Joshua remind the people of that. God's with us. We can do it. We can take it. Fear is sinful in this context of not believing God that he can overcome the obstacles and your fears and your dread. They said we can't overcome. We can't beat them. That's sinful. That's accusing God. That's saying he won't keep his word, or he's not big enough. He's not powerful enough. He's not wise enough. Or he's not going to keep his word. Which one? Or is it all of them together? Why haven't you received the gift of God? You appreciate it. If all these things about heaven and knowing God are true, you can appreciate how wonderful they are. Everlasting life in a beautiful kingdom, a rejuvenated heaven and earth. No sin, no ugliness. No violence, no greed, no jealousy, no pride, no wars, no deaths, no sorrows. Isn't that a place to want? And a place to want to be forever and ever? Well, of course it is. And God promises it. And many appreciate it, but they don't advance because of their fears. What is it that you're saying to yourself? I can't see me relying upon God, trusting God. You've never done it. And your fear is, I can't see that ever happening. I can't see that being a part of my life, that I could really trust God and get help from him and blessing from him, that he would help me through all my struggles. I don't believe that. I doubt that would happen for me. Oh yes, you can see it happens for others, and it has done for multitudes of others. But when it comes to you and personal trust in the Lord, I can't see myself with faith. I can't see myself walking with the Lord, as you people term it. I would never find the enjoyment in that, the satisfaction in that. I can't see me overcome my natural aversion to God, my fear of God, my suspicions. It's all right for others, but I don't see it working for me. I could never see myself being fully satisfied in knowing the Lord. Wouldn't work for me. You're afraid. You're afraid that would never happen for you. It's an experience you'll never have, so you're not going to trust him. You're going to let that fear paralyze you. Oh, I won't even venture my all upon Christ. I couldn't see myself fervently praising God. I've never been excited by that. I've never been thrilled by that. I've never been lifted up. I come, I sing, I do, but that's all it is. But listen, that's a sinful doubt, a sinful fear. Because Christ says, believe, trust in me. I won't do these things until you believe and trust in me. It's faith first. It's reconciliation to God first, to Christ first. It's the forgiveness of sin. It's the cleansing of your sin. Then these things become your experience and a reality. Don't let the fear that you could never do these things. Of course you can't now. Of course you're incapable. Because you haven't the Spirit of God. You're not spiritually alive. You're yet dead in sin. How on earth could you have what life needs to be present to give you? Can a corpse see? Can a corpse hear? Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Words, why of the Lord himself? You can't see yourself, and your fear is you would never have zeal or affection for Christ, love for him. Well, that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You confess your sin. That's a sin to be repented of. You never overcome it yourself. But you trust the Lord. If any man be in Christ, we read, he, she is a new person, a new creature. The old passes away, and behold, all things become new. When? Before you're in Christ? Or when you're in Christ? Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Union with Christ. Conversion. Repentance. Faith. Oh, there are things that would be too big and too strong, just like the sons of Anak, the Jebusites, the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, etc. They're too big, too strong, too many. I would have too many problems to cope with, so you're afraid. Do you know, there's a great irony in reading this, because one of their greatest fears was for their children, was about their domestic setup and situation. They doubted they would take the land, and they feared for what would happen to their children. And God, when he addresses this sinful fear, says to them, do you know what? Your children will go into this land. They will walk in. I will give them the land. Those that you worried so much about. Do you know, we have umpteen fears that will hold us back from the Lord, and it needn't be so. What does it teach us when the Lord addressed the people about their children and told them their children would enter the promised land? In effect, it says this, leave all your domestic problems with God. Leave all your problems, all your fears, all your concerns, all your worries, leave them to God. Do the one thing needful. Believe him. Trust in him. And advance. Call upon him. Believe his word. You know, he brought them so close, hadn't he? They're right on the threshold. They're standing at the border, as it were, and they're looking in. I think for some people that come to an evangelical church that hear the gospel, they're walked, as it were, right up to the border of heaven itself, and they're given a sight and a glimpse, and they can look in. They're so close, but they don't go any further, because they've got other concerns, not just fears, worries about this, about that, and how they'd be resolved and dealt. Leave them with God. Fear will kill you. Fear's a destroyer. Now look, the time's gone, really. I wanted to spend a little bit more time on fears and concerns, but let me just go to the close, really. For if you look to the end of chapter 14, not 13, you'll see what happens. Belatedly, having heard the Lord's solemn words that he would judge them now, that their sinful fear, and it was a sinful fear, was so worthy of judgment that they would not see the land. Now look at verse 40, chapter 14. Because they said, we've sinned, now we're going to go up. Let me read verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper. He told them not to go. Don't go now. Your sinful fear has kept you out. You won't enter the land. Do you know, wouldn't it be a great tragedy that it would be at the very point of death when you would realize, when it would dawn on you like the noonday sun, I should have trusted the Lord. I should have come with all my fears. I should have looked at the God that is and said, as he himself said, so that I might be encouraged, with God there is nothing impossible. The disciples said, turning one time to him, who then can be saved? He said, with man it's impossible. Yet there are multitudes trying to work themselves into a position so that they can be saved. That's a nonsense. No, with man it's impossible, but with God, said Christ, all things are possible. And he didn't mean possibly, maybe. He meant for sure. Trust in Christ, for sure you're saved. Trust in Christ, for sure you're redeemed. Trust in Christ, for sure you'll enter the promised land. Trust in Christ, you'll have the fruit of the promised land, the milk, the honey, eternally. For sure. You'll be sanctified. You'll have the robes of the righteousness of Christ. For sure, when you stand before God at the judgment throne, you will be seen as one of his own and received into his kingdom. For sure. With man, it's impossible. Don't die with a sinful fear. Don't die having reached the end of life's journey. And then there's this, if you like, conversion of belief. It's all true. But I wouldn't venture my all upon the Lord. I was too fearful. Now maybe. Oh, what a tragedy if you were met by this. For the Lord said, don't go now. Your opportunity's past. Don't go. But notice, verse 42, Moses says, go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up onto the hilltop. You presume on a deathbed to come to Christ and to come to God. Can I give you that quote I often use? True repentance is never too late. Late repentance, said the old Puritan, is seldom ever true. Don't you risk it. Don't play Russian roulette with your soul. God said, don't go up, but they presumed to go up onto the hilltop. Nevertheless, look, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Didn't go with them. The ark signified the presence of God. Moses is a type of Christ. They have neither. They're presumptuous, self-willed. It's too late. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. Paralyzing, destroying fear. Is that why you haven't come to Christ? What is the fear? What fear's bigger than God? What obstacle can he not overcome? What can he not remove? What can he not do in your life? The thing you think no one can help me with this or with that, with man, it's impossible, said the Lord, but with God, all things are possible. Even the salvation of your fearful soul. Come to Christ. Come to God through Christ. Trust him. Believe his word. Find eternal life. Experience reconciliation with God and all the blessings that come with it.